Well, as you know, I've spent some time with students on previous parts of my life, and one of the things we did every year is we had students in at various times, particularly the big days when they couldn't get home. So we had students in at Thanksgiving and occasionally over Christmas. Some didn't get back because, well, they lived in faraway countries, not just the United States. And Easter. And one of the things that we always did on Easter is we had essentially Thanksgiving dinner on Easter. And we did it very intentionally. There's nothing wrong with eating ham, well, any time, let alone at Easter. But we cooked a turkey and did all of that kind of thing because we always said, if you're not thankful on Easter, when are you thankful? And it just seemed to be a nice little tie-in to pull all of this together. And that's where the sermon title comes from. It's just Thanksgiving. Because there's so many things we can do with Easter Sunday that they're all appropriate. They're all perfectly fine. You'll occasionally run across people who have a bit of a fit when you have a Easter egg hunt for the younger set. And I think, oh, come on. Don't give me this business that you are somehow tricked into thinking that this is a fertility rite rather than anything else because there's eggs involved. We haven't thought that way for thousands of years. It's a wonderful way to celebrate things because if Easter Sunday isn't a day of celebration, we don't really have a whole lot left, do we? I mean, this is the best day of the year. I used to describe it as just that. It's the best day of the year. It's better than my birthday. It's even better than my anniversary. Maybe that wasn't the case for the first few years. That might have been a bit of a toss-up. But today is just a wonderful day in which we can be profoundly and tremendously thankful. And not just for all the things that we think of when we think of the resurrection, that Christ demonstrated that death has no hold over those that God doesn't want to stay dead or anything like it. But we have this opportunity to be thankful for people just like us. And when I look at the story, particularly in John, I am thankful for all of these people here that we see who behave very similarly, I think, to the way I would. I'm not prepared to speak for everybody else in the world, but I think I, too, would be somewhat surprised, even if I was pretty sure death wasn't going to hold my best friend when they died, and somebody came and said, they're gone, I would be surprised. We sometimes look at the disciples and say, well, what's wrong with you? You should have known better. And I just think if I was responsible in sort of an obvious way for everything I knew better, I would be in real trouble because we always know. There's all kinds of things that we know that we still have to have demonstrated to us one way or another. And it's not unreasonable if we place ourselves in the shoes of Mary and John and Peter to think that when people die, they stay dead. We have thousands of years of history and our own experience, our own hearing this over and over again. We see this story from the end, not from the beginning. And so perhaps there was an intellectual assent that John, Peter, that Mary, they had heard in some way or another that Jesus was going to come back from the dead. And they heard that. And it's not that they didn't understand it, but there are some things that you know, but you don't know. You think you know what it means to love somebody when you're 13. And I'm not saying at 13 that you don't love people when you have a crush on someone. This is absolutely true. But when you step into this relationship with someone you're going to spend the rest of your life with, isn't there a difference there between what love is then and what it was when you were 13? It's the same thing, perhaps, but you didn't really know. You didn't really understand. And one of the things that I really quite like is how John puts it in a couple of different places. And this is in the New International Version, a little bit different, but finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. This is after John beats Peter to the tomb, but stops, and Peter just barrels right through because that was Peter's personality. That's what he did with everything else. Why would it be different on this time? But John also went inside. He saw and believed. And I think it's fair to say that before that, he might have known, but he might not have believed. There are lots of things we know, but we come to believe them when we see them in action. If somebody says they're there for you, Well, we know that. They've said that. But when that person comes with you to the hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning just to sit with you when you're worried about a loved one, you believe it then in a way that you maybe didn't before. And that doesn't make them a bad person or you a bad person. That's part of being human. Sometimes we need more than just an intellectual assent to make our belief real to us in a way that it can't be before. And it's the same with Mary. After Mary has that exchange with who she first thinks is a gardener, who turns out to be not the gardener, but Jesus, Mary went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And that changed things for her forever. John saw an empty space and believed. Mary saw Jesus and believed. For both of them, the resurrection, this transition, had changed something that they may have known, they may have given their intellectual assent to, into something that they believed, into something that was more than just saying, yeah, that's a good idea, or I'm sure that's the case, or I'm pretty sure they're not lying when they say that. All of these things indicate that we have some kind of knowledge, but I'm thankful that we see here that sometimes we need more to move into belief. If we wanted to, if we were unkind, and if we kind of forgot how human we are as well, we could look down our nose at John and say, how could you not have believed? You're with Jesus all the time. Well, because John was John, just the same way I'm Barry. We have blind spots, we have difficulties, we have challenges in all kinds of different ways, just because we're human. And when we are given the gift of understanding in a new way, whether it is something as profound as the risen Christ, something as significant as understanding that that person that we hitched our wagon to in a ceremony in a church long ago really meant it when they said, for better or for worse, when they stick with you when you've come out of the hospital and you can't do anything for yourself for a few days, and they take time off work and they take care of you and they never say, you know, oh, come on, why aren't you better yet? You make this transition into a new level. It's not that John wasn't connected with Jesus. It's not that Mary didn't think Jesus was a profound teacher and an incredibly important person in her life and for everyone. There was just a new level. And for that, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that they got it because their evidence, their story helps me to get it. And because I'm the kind of person it is, it helps me to be just a little more patient with myself. I tend to be one of those people who says, well, I should have known that about just about everything. And that can be a very unhelpful way to live your life. And it's even less helpful when we tell other people that they should have known something. John should have known. And a while ago, somebody told me, you know, you can really change your perspective on things if you take that word and you take off the S and the H at the beginning and change it to a C and say, John could have known that. And there are lots of things that I could have known and I could have done better. But for reasons that made sense at the time, I didn't. And looking at something that I could have done but didn't is altogether different than looking at something I should have done and didn't. And it doesn't mean there aren't some things I should do, of course, but I am one of those people who can turn almost anything like that into an obligation that I somehow failed to meet and be hard on myself. And it's not helpful. Jesus does not say to Mary, what's wrong with you? You should have known. Jesus doesn't say that to anybody. Jesus doesn't say that to Thomas, who said, I'm not going to believe this till I can see the nails, the nail prints in his hands, maybe even stick my hand into his side. I've never figured out how that would work. I'm assuming that if you come back from the dead, you're at least somewhat healed, if not entirely. But still, that's what Thomas needed to do. Jesus didn't say, Thomas, get out of my sight. You're a terrible person. Jesus said to Thomas, well, here you go. Why? Because Jesus understood that we're human. And sometimes I think we need to remind ourselves that we're human. I'm grateful on Easter Sunday for many things every year. Sometimes I'm grateful for just being together with family, as we will be later. I'm grateful to see my grandkids enjoying themselves in our home. I like seeing them eat what we make, and it's just a delightful time of family. I like that. Some years that's a real highlight. Other years it's when it isn't so cloudy, we go and we watch the sunrise on Easter Sunday, and there's that moment of connection with that early day, early part of the day that John and Mary had and Peter. There's all of these things, and I'm grateful for all of them. And today is a day to give thanksgiving as well as to celebrate. To not just note the reality of the resurrection, but to be thankful for it. To be thankful for the people that we see here who have told us all these things that have allowed us to forge our own path to belief. All of us needed something, whether it was the witness of someone else, whether it was somebody explaining scripture to us in a way we didn't understand before. And we will continue to need these things. John knew a lot before this moment, and he knew more afterwards. But if this John is the same John that wrote the book of Revelation, as I believe it is, John learned an awful lot between those two periods as well. We can continue to do the same. And Easter kicks off a new way of us to think about ourselves and to those people who have gone before us, whether they're in Scripture or they're just our families and family members and friends who have gone before us. Those people that have written the books that have helped us become more and more the people we were created to be. The example of those that we follow. On this Easter Sunday, a day that we can be thankful, maybe take a moment or two, just like we do in October, and think about some of those people that you are thankful for, some of those experiences you're thankful for, and look at them through the lens of what it means to know that Christ arose. The grave couldn't hold him, that he demonstrated unequivocally that death has no hold over those whom God wants to live. Amen.